back to another episode of In the Heyday. I am your host, Oliver Hayes, and I'm here at the CU Event Center to give my instant thoughts and reactions to the number 19 nationally ranked Kansas Jayhawks beating the Colorado Buffaloes by a score of 75-69. I know it has been a while since I have hopped on the pod with the away games. It is a little bit harder to hop on the podcast, and with the Texas Tech game and the West Virginia game not being on ESPN or ESPN Plus, I have no way to access the replays of those games, so that's why there is no rewatch podcast over the past week, along with the instant thoughts and reactions for the away contest. But either way, I'm here to briefly talk about those three games a little bit, mostly talk about this game that happened on a late Tuesday night here in Boulder. I believe it is now Wednesday at the time of this recording. But, you know, briefly looking at this contest before talking about the last three, the Buffs made this game close and competitive. The Jayhawks, their largest lead was only 11, even though they led for 35 minutes and 23 seconds of this contest. And Colorado was able to make it a 60-59 game, trailing only by one with just a few minutes left. However, as the Buffs have experienced multiple times this season, whether it was against Colorado State, whether it was against Texas Tech, in the last game they played here against a nationally ranked opponent in the Event Center, the Buffs ultimately were on the wrong end of two calls tonight. The first being a goaltending call early in the second half, which looked like one of Flory Badunga's four swats should have been a goaltend. But after the Buffs made it that one-point contest, they forced a turnover. It looked like they were potentially going to be able to take the lead. And while they got blocked twice in transition, leading to a Malvin Council Jr. layup, it was the call or lack of no call right after, as Sebastian Rancic tried to immediately push the pace for the Buffs. And Council, who had fallen down on the previous layup as he was getting up along the baseline right behind me, stuck his hands up while he still appeared to be out of bounds, somehow stole the pass, but the refs did not call anything, even though it looked like he was interfering, which would have been a technical. The refs, like I said, did not call anything. He stole the pass, was able to get a layup. And the one-point lead for the Buffs immediately, or the one-point lead for Kansas immediately turned into a five-point lead, which they only ultimately rode into the 75-69 win here at the Event Center. As Melvin Council Jr. got away with a funky steal, but ultimately put up a team-high 18 points as he led the Jayhawks in scoring. Was Kansas had four different guys in double digits in scoring. You know, even though that happened and the Buffs were on the wrong side of the whistle, and Darren Peterson, who had 16 points on 6 of 15 shooting from the field, banked in his third three-pointer after the sequence, sinking the Buffaloes, putting the Buffs on the wrong end of not only the whistle, but of just the way the ball fell tonight. The Buffs, they, you know, have something to hang their hat on tonight. I believe after last game, Tad brought up that phrase a decent amount. I think he said he was saying something about offense, about defensive rebounding, about defense and stuff like that. In terms of West Virginia had something to hang their hat on, or where the Buffs didn't. Tonight, I thought the Buffs ultimately had something to hang their hats on, because in the last three contests, the Buffs, they had started out slow. They had to come back in the second half to make the games. And while it was impressive, because against Texas Tech and Cincinnati, the Buffs erased 20-point victories or 20-point deficits to make it one or two possession ball games before ultimately losing, and even took the lead against West Virginia despite going down not as big as 20 points, but going down decently against West Virginia. You know, the Buffs have been impressive coming back. They haven't consistently played a full 40 minutes of basketball, as you can tell by the tale of two halves that were displayed across the last three contests. And so while this led this contest against the Jayhawks led to the Buffs' fourth straight loss in conference play, and ultimately, you know, left another bad taste in their mouth due to another missed call or two in this contest. And you know, Darren Peterson banking in his third three, even though the Buffs did a solid job on him. The Buffs, you know, like I said, they played a very consistent 40 minutes of basketball. Offensively, they were able to see shots fall in transition or in the half court. They only shot 35.7% from the field, just 29% from three, and only shot 62.5% on 16 free throw attempts. However, the Buffs consistently got good looks throughout this contest. And while Kansas shot 46.2% from the field, the Buffs did a great job on Darren Peterson, who, even though made three threes, shot just 6 of 15 from the field. And the Buffs, who only had three turnovers themselves, forced Kansas into 12 turnovers and out-rebounded them on the offensive glass by three. The only issue was that Colorado only scored 10 points off of those nine extra turnovers. and only scored 15 second chance points off those 12 offensive rebounds. So while the Buffs had a number of offensive looks, whether it was good three-point looks and good shots in the overall half-court offense, whether it was looks off of putback opportunities, whether it was what should have been fast break opportunities off of turnovers, the Buffs just ultimately were not able to capitalize. And Kansas, who even though they were without head coach Bill Self, who dealt with a medical scare, allowing Jack Bond to fill in as the interim head coach for his alma mater, even though they were without Bill Self, they were still the polished Kansas Jayhawks team that the fans across college basketball are used to expecting whenever the Jayhawks come to town. Of course, Darren Peterson, like I talked about, he didn't shoot as well from the field as he is used to. The Buffs did a very great job on him. They wanted the ball out of his hands. They were blitzing him in the pick and roll. They made sure it was pretty much impossible for him to drive. I don't really remember Peterson even getting to the rim. He had to settle for a lot of floaters. And like I said, most of his production came from the three-point line as he shot 3 of 5 from beyond the arc. Outside of him, the Jayhawks, even though they shot 40% in that first half, 41% in that first half, were able to turn around and shoot 52% in the second half. As Trey White went for 17 points and 15 rebounds. I mentioned Melvin Cowper Jr., who had that big sequence, but he had the team-high 18 points along with 7 rebounds and 3 assists. And while Darren Peterson struggled, and Floyd Dunga maybe didn't have as much of an offensive impact, especially in the first half that Kansas would have wanted, that Jack Vaughn mentioned in his post-game presser, but he had 9 points in the second half during a stretch where Colorado's offense kind of struggled a little bit, and that ultimately gave Kansas just enough of a boost. So when that Melvin Cowser Jr. steal happened and that crazy sequence unfolded and Darren Peterson banked in a 3, Kansas had just enough of a lead to use those moments to ride it into victory. The Buffs, like I said, they were able to generate the offensive looks. Their defense was solid, but in the second half, one of the big things in this contest was Elijah Malone. Even though he has struggled a lot this season, he only played 7 minutes in this game due to injury. He appeared to take a hit from Floyd Badunga and fouled him early in the game. Still played a few minutes after that, but then wasn't on the bench. Tad Boyle said that Malone went to the hospital, said that he's checked out of the hospital, but not sure what the injury is. But without Malone, who was dealing with something that seems at least somewhat serious, the Jayhawks were able to focus more on the perimeter, on the defensive side of the ball, and hold the Buffs, who shot 6 of 14 from the three-point line in the first half on 9 assists, to just 3 of 17 three-point shooting in the final 20 minutes due to that defensive switch. And also on the defensive side, while Elijah Malone has been called out for his lack of rebounding and defense and things like that, the Buffs, while they were able to be a little bit more versatile and play some solid defense, like I said, allowed Kansas to shoot over 50% in that second half and allowed them to shoot 8 of 19 from the three-point line in total, which was tough because when Malone was in the game, the Buffs were able to go back more into that game that they offered versus Arizona State and Utah and some of the earlier Big 12 games that they went away against West Virginia with. And the Buffs, even though it was good, Kansas was able to knock down some three-point looks against that defense, which was tough for the Buffs. And even though the Buffs gave up some of those three-point looks, they had solid defense. And then after Malone was out of the game and Alon McKaylee was the big guy who was in and productive on offense with 13 points himself, the Buffs playing more man-to-man struggled more on the inside, and especially when Bangad Dak got his third foul down the stretch of the second half, that was when Floyd Badunga was able to have more of an impact in this contest and score 9 of his 11 points in the second half. And you could also just see that inside-out factor that I was talking about was just not there for Colorado due to Elijah Malone not being in the game and the Jayhawks being able to focus more on the perimeter. I believe that may have allowed McKaylee to go for more of to have some of his 13 points and things like that. But it made things hard for the Buffs. Like I said, even though generated decent looks, just were not able to capitalize. whether it was in the half court, whether it was offensive rebound, or whether it was off of turnovers. And it spoiled Isaiah Johnson's game-high 19 points, Barrington Hargreaves' 17 points, as both of those guys made just 6 field goals. They combined for 12 of 29 shooting from the field, combined for 5 of 15 from three-point land between those two. But looking at Sebastian Rancic and Bangad Dak, those guys shot a combined 6 of 22 from the field as they both struggled. Sebastian Rancic only went to the free throw line once between those two guys. And, you know, part of that was because of Elijah Malone's absence and things like that. But Floyd Badunga, with his 4 blocks, even though one could have been a goaltending, he was all over the place and made things very hard for the Buffaloes. And outside of Badunga, Trey White, he had those 15 rebounds as he was very active despite only being 6'7" and being listed as a guard. Bryson Tiller, he's the starting forward for the Jayhawks. He only had 23 minutes and just 5 rebounds. He was less of an impact. But, yeah, Bryson Tiller, Trey White, like I said, was huge on the glass as the Buffs looked a lot less physical in this game than on the interior than maybe Tad Boyle would have hoped. That was one area outside of just the lack of capitalization on looks that the Buffs could have improved, because you can see how Isaiah Johnson, how Barrington Hargreaves, how Alon McKaylee, how guys like that are able to draw some contact, even though they didn't have as many free throws. Isaiah Johnson led the team with just 5 free throw attempts. But guys like Sebastian Rancic and Bangad Dak, as I've talked about in my last podcast, against Northern Colorado, they went up more vertical, fading away, things like that. Where against Arizona State and Utah, I thought they were attacking the rim, going more at the rim and into the defender a little bit more. Tonight, I felt like they didn't do that as much. And, even though I felt like they shot decent shots, not really rushing too much, just didn't have the most physical takes. And Sebastian Rancic, who's been pretty solid at getting to the free throw line throughout the season, and into Big 12 play, was just a non-factor on the offensive side of the ball, along with Bangad Dak. And so, you know, while Johnson and Hargreaves and McKaylee had decent nights, when Elijah Malone left the game and Kansas was able to focus in on that perimeter, the absences of Sebastian Rancic and Bangad Dak down the stretch of this one were ultimately just too much to overcome, which is why Colorado was not able to capitalize on some of those looks. But still, I mean, you can't be too mad because, you know, even though the Buffs got out-rebounded by 12, which is big, you can do the math as to why they lost that rebound battle. Probably due to the physicality, but because of the amount of missed shots that they had, Kansas ultimately just had far many more chances to grab defensive rebounds than the Buffs. And at the same frame, you can use that logic towards why the Buffs had more offensive rebounds. But the Buffs had more offensive rebounds than a pretty decently athletic, tall, physical team in the Jayhawks, which is something to build on. They only had 3 turnovers. And like I said, they had decent looks. Like, you can't be too mad at the shots that the Colorado was attempting down the stretch of this contest. And when you look at the shots that the Jayhawks were attempting, especially Darren Peterson, Tad Boyle said, is a tough shot taker and a tough shot maker. You know, you can't be too mad at the shot quality difference between these two teams. If there's a statistic for that, the Buffs may have won that, even though there was some stagnant offense down the stretch of the second half, which Barrington Hargreaves chalked up to maybe just missing shots, but maybe trying to look for mismatches a little bit more here and there. I feel like I've talked a fair amount, nearly 14 minutes into this pod. I feel like I've covered all the things. Like I said, the Buffs played pretty consistent. There's really no argument there. They just, like I said multiple times throughout this pod, they just couldn't capitalize on the good looks. They couldn't capitalize on the turnovers. They couldn't capitalize on the offensive rebounds. And when the bad whistle and the bad bank came in down the stretch of this contest, that ultimately sunk Colorado and brings them to 2-4 in conference play. And now I believe 12-7 in the 2025-2026 season. I believe Kansas now improves to 14-5 on the year and 4-2 in conference play after picking up their first Big 12 win. A weird, funky night, which looked like it was potentially going to go Colorado's way, ultimately falls the way of the Jayhawks. They escape with the win. The Buffs I was about to say escape. Buffs leave with a loss, and now Colorado looks ahead to the UCF Knights, who will come to town on Saturday at 1 p.m., and that game will be on ESPN Plus. So best believe I will be able to replay watch that one. I'll be able to replay and watch this one, because even though it was nationally televised, it was on ESPN. So I'll be able to replay it and have another pod before the UCF game. So be on the lookout for that. But either way, the Buffs will need to lock in, and if they can have a performance similar to this one tonight, even if they are without Elijah Malone, they should have a decent time against the UCF Knights, even though the Knights have been pretty solid throughout this year. The Knights were nationally ranked at one point, I believe, at number 25. However, they're coming off a big 30-point loss to the number 9 Iowa State Cyclones. So it should be an interesting contest, yet winnable contest for the Buffs here at home in just a few days from now. As usual, I'll be there. Hopefully I can catch you guys in a rewatch pod of this contest before that game. But if not, my name is Oliver Hayes, and I'll see you guys next time. I appreciate you guys watching another episode of the Nate.